Some years ago, an elderly couple was having trouble with their car in a grocery store parking lot. So the elderly man asked a young man who was on his way to his car if he could maybe lend him a hand. But instead of help, the young man yelled at the man saying, "You shouldn't even be allowed to drive at your age." Then the young man spun off in his expensive car. Fortunately for the couple, another man came out of the store and he went to a nearby shop to get a mechanic to come and service the car for the elderly couple. Afterwards, the elderly man gave the guy who had helped him his card with his personal information on it. When he got home, the man read the card and discovered to his surprise that the elderly man wasn't just anybody. The card read, "Congressional Medal of Honor Society." That young man who refused to help out was a lot like the townspeople in the gospel today. Like them, he couldn't get past the older man's exterior to see someone who was truly special. You know, there's a word for it. We call it pigeonholing. We can look it up sometime. To pigeonhole is to classify or to categorize somebody, to force them into a cramped space like where pigeons nest. When Jesus returns to his native place, we find the people there doing exactly that. They pigeonhole him. We hear them ask, "Isn't he that carpenter who worked on those cabinets for Mr. and Mrs. Jonas?" The evangelist sums up with these words, "They took offense at him." They took offense at him. We don't want to rush to judgment here, since it seems second nature to us to do about the same thing that the locals in Nazareth did. That is, we judge others by what we think we know about them without really knowing them. We conveniently shove them into categories, or we label them with names. We can't allow that they might be more than what we see or what we know about them. In England, there's something called the tall poppy syndrome. It is what happens when somebody who has achieved recognition is resented by others, or attacked, or cut down, or criticized, just because they stand out like a tall poppy. The people in Nazareth suffered from tall poppy syndrome. And so do we. Many of us cut others down to size. Just listen to how we belittle certain people or criticize them. It seems we're not happy unless we've crammed others into pigeonholes. The unfortunate thing, of course, is that we miss out on seeing the specialness or the beauty of the person we've dismissed as nobody worth our time. We fail to see the sacred thumbprint of God upon the person who stands before us. Like Jesus' neighbors refused to see the mark of God on him just because he grew up two streets over. The British poet of the Victorian era, Elizabeth Barrett Browning, made famous this verse in one of her poems. She wrote these words: "Earth's crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round and pluck blackberries." She's right, of course. So often, we are unaware that we stand on sacred ground. What is it, we should ask, that allows us to miss out on the beauty of the people around us, on the music that they bring with them, on the uniqueness they bring into our world? Is it that we don't have time for them? Or we can't see beyond the surface? Or we're so locked into our own mindsets that we can't see anything divine in our mundane world? Those are good questions that we want to ask ourselves because of the many times we've walked past somebody without really seeing them. We all live in Nazareth, it seems. If there's a lesson here for us, it is that Jesus walks upon this earth, but few see him because of the clothes he wears or because of the class he belongs to, or because of the culture that he comes from. If we want to recognize the Lord Jesus as he walks this earth, we're going to have to break out of our cramped minds and away from our selective seeing. Recently, a group of cloistered nuns from several convents in Chile spent a day visiting the inmates at a woman's prison in Santiago. Now, why? Why, we ask ourselves, why would contemplative nuns who never leave their convents ordinarily choose to take a trip to a prison? Well, listen to the answer that those nuns gave. They said they wanted to contemplate the face of God by seeing him in the face of women who were suffering in prisons, by beholding God in these women whom the world despised. That's what the nun said. When the day was done, the incarcerated women spoke of how moved they were by the sisters' visit. And the sisters, for their part, said it was a grace to share time with the women in prison, to become one with them. If we just allow ourselves to take that story to heart, we may begin to realize that Jesus still lives among us. His face still to be found here. Not necessarily in clean and cool churches, not just in people who wear nice clothes and expensive cologne, but more often in the most unlikely places and the least likely faces. The Lord Jesus walks the earth in a prisoner, in a refugee, in a street person. Blessed are those among us who have eyes that can see him. So what a sad day it was in Nazareth when Jesus made a trip home. And nobody saw anything but the carpenter who had gone off to the big city. We're told that nothing miraculous happened that day because of their lack of faith. But then, nothing miraculous ever happens when we close our eyes to the divine presence in our own hometown, in our own neighbors.